What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Dr. Sheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show dedicated to empowering women with truthful information so they can make the most informed decisions possible. And as always, it's great being with you today. We have another fascinating show and an opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about topics that are really important for us to know about. A couple of announcements before we begin. There are changes afoot, and one of the big changes that will be occurring is the fact that this show is going to be moving to a different time and a different day. So as of March 1st, we're going to be having the show every Sunday at 4 p.m., and I hope you'll come and join me there. Now, I want to remind everybody, if you can't listen to these shows live, if you just opt into my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, I send these shows out every week. So that's the best way to do it. You can get the archive show. You won't miss out on great interviews, important information, and you can listen to it at your convenience. So just letting everyone know that as of the beginning of March, this show, What Women Must Know, will now be airing Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So hope you'll be listening in one way or the other. And by the way, if you just go over to my Facebook page and like me over there, which is What Women Must Know, I list and post all of the radio shows there as well. So one way or the other, you can get this fantastic information. Okay, so that was a big announcement of today. And let's talk about the topic at hand. We're talking to Dr. Eric Braverman today. He is the author of Younger Brain, Sharper Mind. And here are just a few thoughts I'd like to share with you about his latest book. This is the latest of many that Dr. Braverman has written. While gray hair and wrinkles may be unwelcome signs of aging, the memory loss, intellectual impairment, and mood swings that accompany them can be truly devastating. But according to best-selling author and anti-aging expert Dr. Eric Braverman, getting older does not have to mean becoming forgetful, clueless, or depressed. In fact, you can actually become smarter as you age. Well, that's the good news. And to help us explore this topic and to give us some tips how to get a younger brain and a sharper mind at any stage of our life is my guest today, Dr. Eric Braverman. So welcome, Dr. Braverman.
Are you ready for a younger brain and a sharper mind, huh?
I can never get too sharp a brain or too young a brain and too sharp a mind. I'm ready to go. I'm all ears.
Well, the key concept is to have the four main things understood, which are energy from dopamine, cognition, acetylcholine, GABA, serotonin, and that basically means you got to have juice, energy, be able to learn, slow down enough to learn. Then you have to have stability, so you're not hooked on alcohol, drugs, cocaine, and you got to sleep every night. So no matter how energetic, how sexy you are, how happy you are, whatever's going good, money's good, success is good, kids are good, you have to be able to sleep. So sleep and mood are key. Now, we have a group of chemicals that are able to balance this. So, for example, we have a chart in the book which tells you, you know, everyone knows caffeine raises dopamine, nicotine raises dopamine, but we give them folic acid, B-complex, amino acids like tyrosine, phenylalanine. We balance hormones. Women by 30 are already losing estrogen. That's why their face is dry, their hands are dry, their skin is dry, breasts are drooping, you know, all these changes. So we have 21 bioidentical hormones that balance your brain chemistry. Then we're able to help individuals that can't sleep with different techniques, tryptophan, melatonin, St. John's wort, various medications, a host of different key nutrients. So we're able to balance hormones like women, progesterone is big, but even men take progesterone, shrinks their prostate. and we're able to increase the intelligence of a person. So we're able to enhance their visual information processing with zinc and testosterone. We're able to arrest memory decline, sometimes reverse it. So we have demented patients who stop talking and they get their speech back. We have Parkinson's patients that are drooling. And we have booklets on all of this. If they can't afford the book, which is like $25, they can call my office, 888-304-PATH, and we provide brain health booklets on how to reverse MS, how to reverse Parkinson's, how to reverse memory problems, how to reverse dementia, how to reverse the fact that the brain is shrinking. Almost everybody's MRI by 50 is shrunk. You know, you start out like a grape, you end up like a raisin in life. So the brain just turns into a raisin on you, and then visual memory, daily tasks of judgment and awareness and hygiene and remembering where your keys are and remembering how to drive and where'd you place your purse and where's your latest jacket and where's your face creams and where's your mascara and all that kind of stuff that just kind of falls to pot with time. And so you just got to balance your brain chemistry. You measure it. So any single individual can have a measurement. And they can measure these with brain tests, and then you basically make a strategy to be smarter than you've ever been before. That's what we do. Hopefully I didn't talk too much.
Well, there's a lot of information there, so I want to kind of go back to basics. And the first thing I want to start with is what is it that occurs presently in our age that we are at now, in this 2012, what is it that is the greatest risk to healthy brains and health, and what's causing our brains to age? And are they aging more rapidly than the brains of our ancestors?
No. First of all, our ancestors were, that's an easy question. Our ancestors were generally having husbands married their wives at 17, married a 13-year-old. They had babies, and then the husband was dead at 31. And left the wife to take care of the kids. So the brains never got that far. The bottom line is at 30 years old, even 22, a woman's hormones drop. That loss of estrogen results in a loss of voltage and steroids. And there's 21 other hormones that we do. It's in my book, Younger You, that are being lost. So you're dying slower. The good news is we never lived this long before and that we're able to really get an enhanced life. So we lose testosterone for men, estrogen for women, but testosterone for women too. Women lose their sex drive, their bone density, a lot of things. Insulin changes, so we get a lot of prediabetes. Melatonin changes, so we get a lot of sleep disorder. All these are screwing the brain up. I'll give you more hormones. You lose a parathyroid hormone, four purple glands next to the thyroid. That results in hunched, poor height. So if you go to weddings, everyone at 60 is a midget. They're hunched over, they're crooked, they're chicken necking. Men get a big belly, and they get a lot of fat storage in their liver from the loss of hormones. A lot of people lose vitamin D. Their skin no longer absorbs vitamin D like it should, and that means that they're not as good a mood and not happy, and they lose height. There's hormones that affect the adrenal gland called DHEA and pregnenolone. They're hormones like erythropoietin that affect the kidneys. The kidneys don't filter anymore. So those of us who live in New York, we accumulate lead, cadmium, aluminum. And so we do chelation, and it removes these toxic metals out of the brain. So the brain rusts. So we have a short version of this hormonal decline of aging. It's you burn up, you dry up, you swell up, you turn to stone or calcify, you rust to death, you get choked by your own blood supply, and then you're called an oldacaca. Right? So the good news is I'm guaranteeing everyone, promising you, 15 younger years of a younger brain and a sharper mind.
By
reading my book and studying my website, and they call for free booklets at 888-304-PATH, they're going to get the information and they match it to them. So, I mean, look, it depends on the person. I might even run through with you a couple different types of people, but I can give you one example. A guy comes in with heart disease. You know, he has more serotonin deficiency and sleep disorder, and he has some memory problems and visual memory, so that's testosterone. Serotonin. So each person has an aging brain print. Some it's their bone density that's contributing to their age, some it's their testosterone, some is their lifelong depression, some is attention. Some have bad husbands, husbands that are on cocaine or husbands that are using, you know, the wrong drugs that make them crazy. Or some people have too many kids. They're overextended. They don't have housekeepers. They don't have support. They don't have enough infrastructure. They don't order online, you know, all their different foods, and they can't get to shopping and getting fresh fruits and vegetables. They don't get fresh spices. Some people are living in areas that are endemic for iodide deficiency, you know, where there's no salt water in the Middle Lakes region, and that ends up with a lot of thyroid problems that affect brain and mood. Slow thyroid, even minor slow thyroid, probably affects overall intelligence and intellectual output. So there's a lot to do, but it's all going to end up on a Star Trek computer for you. And right now I have a Star Trek book that tells you how to scan and repair your brain.
So the natural aging process does impair our brain. Of course, we're doing things right now in our society, from exposure to chemicals to high sugar intake to, I'm sure, cell phones. Everything is adding to the compromised functioning of our brain's ability to function. I mean, the good news, and you write about this in your book, is that our brain, like any other part of our body, has the capacity to rejuvenate and regenerate if we just learn how to take it properly.
Yes, it does. And you have to do the checklist. Most doctors' offices are not brain-oriented. Like on page 26 of my book, it reminds everyone, even an antibiotic, antidepressants, anti-nausea medications, antipsychotics, all these things can affect the brain negatively. Parkinson's meds, stimulants, lead, cadmium, depression, headaches are tip-offs. Concussions are really big right now. 24% of my patients have had a concussion, leading to depression and mood swings and anxiety.
Can I jump in there?
And aluminum, arsenic, cadmium, lead, and mercury are epidemic. I mean, the Chinese have been manufacturing everything with mercury and shipping it to the United States. That's been big. And I have in this book my Braverman anxiety test as well. But, yes, of course you can chip in. I got a Braverman depression test.
Let me just jump in about brain injury. You said 24% of your patients show up with concussions.
History of concussions, yeah.
And, of course, we're seeing so much more of the consequences of brain injury. Does that include whiplash? Does whiplash go under the category of concussion? Are you seeing the effects of people who are in car crashes and get whiplashed, or if they're hit on the head, something bangs them on the head? Can this all contribute to brain damage that can lead to affecting how our brain ages and, of course, our cognitive functioning?
Whiplash is a major cause of brain injury. Concussion is obvious, but it's 24%. I think in all fairness, if we said how many people have whiplash, we'd end up with 70%.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I met someone who had a car accident. I think it was whiplash. And after that accident, they started gaining all this weight and all sorts of problems from the brain damage and how it impaired so many of the key functions that are occurring in the body that were overseen by the brain.
They are. And whiplash, the brain is overseeing everything. It's the golden bowl and the silver cord. The brain controls your heart rate. People die just from fright. There is things frightened to death. People die from high blood pressure. Just cortisol from the brain raises their pressure. Mm-hmm. People die from addiction. Alcohol, cocaine, they all relate to dopamine, smoking. Marijuana use all over California relates to anxiety. So the reality is that the people are, number one cause of death is brain health problems. That's the key organ. It's great to be gorgeous and have great breasts and great figure and all that stuff for women, but they got to get their whole orientation is get your brain right, then get your body right. And the way we teach them is that we say to them that the brain will affect your breast cancer rate. All right, good mood and sleep protect you against cancer. Your brain affects your weight. Dopamine in the brain burns fat, all right? Your brain affects your addiction style and your relationship style, all right? There's different types of romantic delusions. Some women fall in love, fall out of love in 6 months. Other women take 2 years to fall in love, and then they live the delusion of romance for 20 years while their husband's doing all sorts of horrible things. They just believe he's the greatest guy on earth, and they live in a fantasy bubble. And they are called the GABA types in my book, the romantic types that are addicted to the marriage rather than the reality of the person. And there's an entire understanding of romantic delusion and the future of more successful relationships in life by getting your brain straight.
I want to talk about neurotransmitters because this is such an important subject, and I want to start at the beginning for
okay. Do you mind if one of my colleagues also helps me that helped rewrite the book, Dr. Smeda? And are we live? Do we take short breaks or no?
We are live, and we do take a short break at the bottom of the hour.
Okay. All right, good.
I'd be happy to have...
I'm going to hang in there, and go ahead. And by the way, everyone gets a free book, which is 888-304-PATH, if they call that number. All right, 888-304-PATH. And I'm also, I have a patient in front of me. I'm going to go over her brain, because she's gorgeous, and I want to go over her brain with you in a minute.
Too bad we don't have a live cam.
Well, she'd be worth seeing. All right.
Okay, so I want to start at the beginning so people can understand what we mean when we talk about neurotransmitters, because you started off the conversation, Dr. Braverman, talking about neurotransmitters. It's a really important topic, and I want to be sure my listeners understand what this is all about, because they play such a major role in our, you know, perception of reality and our moods and our sleep and addictions and everything else you were talking about. So can we start there, or can whoever wants to take this question?
All right, go ahead. I'll take it. So you want to know specifically which ones neurotransmitters?
Well, I want to start by just defining what they are so people know what we're talking about.
Dopamine comes from amino acid tyrosine, but it also comes from 10 different hormones, and it gives you amazing energy. Acetylcholine comes from choline. So let me give you some simple tips what you get out of it. Everyone should be putting choline powder into their yogurt to boost their eggs, their fish, their yogurt, everything. So choline powder is one of the great changes in health. Another thing that's incredible for energy, though, that's a dopamine, is tyrosine and phenylalanine. And that's an amazing compound that, along with herbs like rhodiola, will give a person tremendous energy. Then the GABA group comes from an amino, a B vitamin, inositol. So that's one of the biggest breakthroughs. Everyone that uses Xanax, everyone that's anxious in life, they are able to get anxiety reduction. And you get incredible anxiety reduction.
Can I just say that GABA to me is one of the most important neurotransmitters in my life. Do you find that women use up more GABA than men, by the way?
They do, because they're stabilizing everybody.
Right.
And that's the progesterone function in the brain.
Right, because progesterone helps to increase the GABA receptors, stimulate them, sensitize them, correct?
Correct.
Correct there? I just have to stop here for a moment, because this taking GABA has absolutely changed my life, Dr. Braverman. I have find that when I'm overwhelmed and so many things I need to do, I get anxious, and I've had a history of anxiety attacks that started to show up in my perimenopausal years, and I've discovered that one of the needs of my brain, I guess, is to increase GABA. And when I feel anxious and in that overwhelmed state, I've been using GABA with phenomenal results. I feel like I'm back in the present moment. I'm not stressed. I'm not fearful. Sleep improves, and I have so many of my patients are now using a good form of GABA because it absolutely changes their world.
Without a doubt. We have a brain calm version of GABA with passion flower, inositol, and GABA all put together. We think it packs a wallet. So we want to send you that as a gift. And the first five callers can get it as a gift when they call 646-367-7396. You will go crazy for the brain calm. So you should call later, and you will love this version of GABA.
All right, I'll be one of the five.
Okay. Yeah, you'll be one of the five. We have a GABA
Maybe
version.
Maybe I can be number six, have a
we
special
have a,
place
a
in life.
A brain calm version, a GABA version.
Yes. Yeah. So,
we have a
so
brain
GABA,
energy version, too.
Okay, I have another question on this GABA front, because I have many patients who've been taking Valium and Xanax, which is,
We call that brain Windex. You remember the movie The Greek Wedding?
Yeah.
The guy goes around shooting Windex. Everybody needs Xanax one time or another, or a drink. It's one or the other.
But
sooner or later, life's going to drive you nuts, and you're going to need either Xanax, Valium, or scotch.
But it's so
dangerous. As soon as you get through a joint, you really start getting ruined.
But it's so addictive. It's so addictive, and then people just can't get off of it, and it's impairing this GABA pathway. So
we have a device called the CES device that's amazing for that, too.
Is that that's
FDA approved for electrical therapy that will relax your brain
and help people to get off of their addictions to benzodiazepines?
It's been used as a tremendous anti-addiction device. 888-304-PATH, 888-304-7284. They can get this device.
You're such a good marketer and promoter. What can I say? Everyone's going to remember that number by the time it's over.
You know, no, it took
brains,
me a long
time. Is this for our brains, Dr.
Yeah,
Braverman?
Yeah, it took me a long time to realize that, that just like a woman dresses up to convince someone that she's, you know, beautiful, and you make a cake, you put frosting on it, that respect for other human beings and helping them make the right decisions is to give them the marketing phone number. Because almost, I can tell you, even with me, it sometimes takes me 5 years to apply my knowledge that I teach my patients. You know, whether it's the neti pot with bicarb or the exercise program that would strengthen my knees so I don't end up like every other old man in America with new hips and knees, or, you know, using low dosages of natural hormones or medicine. I find that if I don't apply stuff fast enough, that almost everybody has to learn all these techniques, herbs, spices, energy pills, getting extra box of vitamins, putting them in your home, putting them in your second home, putting them, you know, you just got to get organized and prepared if you want to stay healthy. I mean, we do it for our cars. I mean, I have a guy here for, you know, fixes asphalt, and, you know, he's, I mean, they're all prepped, you know. They don't let their roads fall apart ahead of time, but they'll let their brain fall right out of his skull. That's the way people are. So you have to help them. If you don't sell them to take care of themselves, they don't. It's just, you have to treat people sort of like, you know, your seven-year-old. You got to convince them that, you know, playing Pokemon games is not as good as being able to read, write, and learn and develop character. I mean, the whole purpose of parenting is to get your kids to improve their character. So you work at it. You have to sell them the whole thing.
So let's go on to serotonin, because that's another really important neurotransmitter that many people are deficient in.
Right.
I'm going back to the neurotransmitters.
Sure.
I think they're so important.
The book tells you, in the book, all the different hormones are there and how it changes lives. So progesterone, repair hormones, tryptophan, melatonin, B-complex, zinc, magnesium, fiber, all can help the brain boost serotonin. In the book, I have an entire Braverman protocol of how they can do, if they can't get in here, a younger brain, younger body. You know, what do I think of the drugs that improve acetylcholine? What do I think of the drugs that improve serotonin? Each one of these.
Well, antidepressants don't really improve serotonin.
They do, actually. You know, they work as brain salts. It's one thing I disagree with you. Medications, if they're properly used, work like salt. So just like we put nitrates into turkey meat, and, you know, look, it's better to grill turkey fresh. All right, but the bottom line is better to grill turkey fresh. But the bottom line is medications can overcome the brain problems. And we bail people out all day long with medicine.
Right. But
you know what happened to me the other day? A lady was drowning. She said, throw me a rope. We threw her a nylon rope. She goes, I want it to be natural. She says, can't you sew 100 joints together and make a hemp rope? By the time we got the hemp rope done, she was dead. So sometimes in life, you got to take a medication, otherwise you're going to end up dead.
Interesting things happen at the East River over there, Dr. Braverman.
They landed an airplane there the other day, so anything can happen.
Listen, but if people were low in, if people are low in serotonin, it shows up as depression. And what I'm getting at is that we really want to address it at the root cause level. We want to replenish and build up these stores of these natural brain chemicals whenever possible. Correct. And as we are deficient as our diet gets more and more deficient, as our stress levels increase in toxicity, all these key chemicals in our brain are going to be affected. And we talked about GABA, we talked about serotonin, and we talked about the dopamine and the acetylcholine levels. These are really critical things for people to understand.
I'm going to give you a great teacher, Dr. Smeda, in a minute. But I'm going to give you a sample of a woman who came to me. and she was wanting to fix her brain up. And, you know, she's very, very excitable, filled with energy, but her hormones, estrogen, really started to drop. As a result, she got anxious and moody as progesterone dropped too, because progesterone's GABA and serotonin. What happened to her is she ended up basically not having any attention span anymore. She just had lost her attention. So as she got back on her hormones, she started to focus in again and get her concentration going. And that's the name of the game. So this is the cycle. Almost everyone has a domino cycle. 22, they lose estrogen. 34, they're losing progesterone. Bones are not as good. Calcium and parathyroid are up. Then they drink a little more. Then they party a little more. Then they don't sleep a little bit. And then presto, they don't remember shit. Sorry to be blunt about it. That's it. They can't remember anything. Which I'm sorry about that phrase, but they can't remember anything. It's like horrible. And their brain reverses if you get the hormones balanced with magnesium and fiber. So now I'm going to transfer you over to Dr. Smeda, who's going to review this book in great detail and literally let you lead him with questions, okay? There you go.
I attribute my behavior to Dr. Braverman and his efforts, says patient H.Y.
Okay, well, we need to take a break now, so hang in there. This is the most interesting interview. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. Everyone, and this is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back to What Women Must Know. We're talking about how to create a younger brain and a sharper mind. We've been talking to Dr. Eric Braverman, who is the author of Younger Brain, Sharper Mind, and Dr. Braverman had to rush off to see one of his patients and saving their brains. So we're talking to a colleague of Dr. Braverman, can you introduce yourself, sir?
Sure. Good afternoon. This is Dr. Richard Smeda. I've worked with Dr. Braverman for about 25 years.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're able to be here to help continue this conversation.
Beautiful.
So, what do you think are some of the most important things people need to know about taking care of their brains and restoring and regenerating their brains?
Well, specifically, we know that as well as cognitive function and memory, attention, concentration, sex also begins in the brain. And so when I'm feeling well, my memory, attention, and concentration are good, my reaction time is good, my energy is good, then I feel like doing other things that are going to enhance my life, not to mention having sex. And so when we think about what men and women should know, we want faster brain processing speed, we want enhanced learning. If we're not learning, then we're regressing. And so we want to increase spatial recognition, we want to increase executive function and learn to do, you know, brain tests on the internet that are enhancing our brain speed and total body performance, including, you know, what we should all know is arresting memory decline. And Dr. Braverman has some particular steps that he recommends in his book the younger brain, sharper mind that are towards that goal.
So let's talk about some of the best exercises to help increase brain function, a good brain exercise strategy. I was told that once you have mastered anything, whether it's a sport or a hobby, pottery, or dance step, whatever, your brain no longer is actually able to grow and have neurogenesis. So you always have to be learning new things. Is that what your research shows as well?
Well, this is correct. And as we know, Da Vinci used to draw in the mirror to write his name backwards. And clearly, we have to think of right brain and left brain. We have to think about the hemispheres communicating with each other. We have to use some of the exercises that we've done in the past in a different way. We have to think of auditory, hearing, and visual memory. And we have to integrate all those types of memory into the complexity of those types of exercises we're doing. And so as far as cognitive enhancement with exercises, we have internet, we have some of the tests that we do in our office that actually shows that people will increase cognitive performance on learning certain learning principles after doing these cognitive enhancing programs.
So it's good to learn a new dance, new form of dance, for instance, something or new sport that you're really awkward doing, but it's actually the best type of exercise to do if you want to support a healthy brain and get a smarter brain and a bigger brain. What about in the book, Dr. Braverman says that crossword puzzles are not, I think it was a Scrabble game, I think maybe he mentioned crossword puzzles, are not the types of exercises that really support our expanding brain health and resurrection of our brain function. What are your thoughts on that? And what would be a better...
Well, we know that no nerve cell fires without first the quantum release of calcium in the body. The brain is quantum. And if we're doing linear, non-exponential, non-expansive types of things, you have a limited number of letters, you have a limited number of the ones you receive, and it's not continually massaging the brain. And you would have to do a three-dimensional Scrabble that goes up and goes down, goes vertical, goes diagonal, in order to get all of the, what we call in memory testing and cognitive performance testing, cognitive flexibility. And so, if you were just running sideways to the left, we would say it's not going to enhance your abilities in exercise. And so we want to hit all of the dimensions of memory and cognitive performance simultaneously in the particular programs and tasks we're doing to enhance, brain cognition.
So give us an example.
Well, example, we have a certain memory test that a person would be on the internet. There's dozens, and what they would be doing is we're simultaneously they're working on manual dexterity. They're integrating their hands with their brain. They're integrating the sounds they're hearing in that program. They have to be able to coordinate sounds just as a three-year-old would coordinate the sounds to the picture, to the spatial dimension, to fitting the block in. And if you're not using all of those different areas of the brain, then you're not getting back and forth across the corpus callosum and the right and left brain. And so what we want to do is we want to hit the right brain, creative brain. We want to hit the cognitive calculating brain on the left, and we want synergy of those two brain hemispheres.
Right. So these are actual exercises that are on, people have different programs, different websites. Dr. Braverman has some of these exercises in his book as well, or guidance to so you know how to do them or directed to where you can find them. Is that correct?
Well, we do have sources for our patients to seek out. Some patients are not computer literate. Some of them are agreeable to learn. Other patients would prefer books or tapes or some type of multimedia. And So we really have to, number one, figure out what level of cognitive performance they're at, because we see people that are genius from cognitive insufficiency to dementia. And so we measure their brains, and we're able to give them a blueprint of where their brain is, both electrically, vascularly, cognitively, and give them a real recipe for them. And so,
well, you know, most people are not going to be able to make it into your office. So I'm just trying to find out what people can do who are listening in from all over the world, so they can pick up the strategies that would work for them. So what do you suggest people do who can't make it into your office?
Well, clearly, what we would want them to do is we want them to be on the Internet. We want them to be at the bookstore. We want them to be speaking with their neurologists, psychiatrists, and you know, we do have information. We mail out to patients. We have certain websites. There are some tests that they could get done in their own doctor's offices to find out if they can, you know, find a benchmark of where their reaction time is and where their myriad of types of memory are, so they have a baseline. So as they're getting better, they can actually see themselves improving. And even some of the programs, and I won't go through all of them because there's Mac and there's PC, but some of the programs will continue to keep their benchmarks and indices. And so they should have a baseline of where they are, ideally with a practitioner, but they can also do it on the Internet. And there are iPad programs, Mac programs, PC programs that they can do this with. And,
all right,
you know, we'd be happy to mail it out if anyone needed that.
So people can look that up and see. I mean, Posit Science is an organization that has training for brains as well. Okay, so there is there are two areas I want to look at. There's Chapter 8 in the book that talks about smart lifestyle changes. So what do you believe to be the most important lifestyle changes to support people's ability to create a sharper mind and a younger brain?
Well, certainly lifestyle changes are, number one, get the toxins out and avoid the toxins. So if there are substances in their life they're using that are toxic to the brain, whether it's carcinogens in tobacco or too much alcohol or whatever is excessive, we need to get those out. Number two, we need to get the natural substances in the brain, and, you know, bioidentical hormones help with neuronal plasticity and brain regeneration. We know resveratrol from pigment in grapes to pregnenolone, a hormone that's over the counter, and, you know, even fish oil is known in the literature to enhance neuronal plasticity and help with multiple neurologic issues. And so second thing is give the brain what it needs. And thirdly, it's hydration, it's pure water, keeping the brain cool, it's a computer, and even below the Mason-Dixon line, we know there are more neurologic problems. The brains get hot, okay? And so we've already covered brain exercise. We want to make sure there's brain toxicity is addressed. We want to make sure that brain nutrition is addressed. We want
to go back to the what you just said about the need for proper hydration. So the brain requires to be properly hydrated in order to function. This is a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we see brains all the time that are atrophied, that even areas of their brain has shrunken and has decreased activity on PET scan. Fresh, clean water is critical to wash, number one, poisons out of the brain. We know there are neurofibrillary tangles, there's beta amyloid, and certain deposits in the brain that we have got to keep the brain flowing. So with water and all of those nutrients from, you know, white willow bark or aspirin to vitamin E in some patients, ginkgo, things that are keeping the brain flowing, juicy, especially the bioidentical hormones also, if they can take them.
And we need to emphasize, we're talking about purified water, so you don't want to be getting your water out of a tap because it's so contaminated.
Well, clearly, the whole list of things. Well, we know that we need chlorine to prevent, you know, parasites in our body, but ideally if we can purify the chlorine out, we can make sure our wells are tested and we're not getting, you know, from cadmium, mercury, lead, arsenic, you know, some of the basics, volatile organics, pesticides, herbicides, and, you know, a fungicide was recently in our orange juice that we were getting from South America and even affected the stock market. So definitely hydrating ourselves with pure, clean water and even avoiding certain types of water bottles that have hormone-like effects from the plastic that's called a xenobiotic that can be toxic to our body and even initiate cancers. So there are many ways to purify, and we recommend to all of our patients to get their water tested. And, you know, coconut charcoal is a great thing, and it can purify water. And then depending on what they have in their water, we can recommend other things, or they may not drink out of their well. And so really cooling the body, washing out poisons. We tell the patients, if you can't wash your wall with it, don't drink it. Because if it's sticky on the wall, it's sticky in your gastrointestinal system and your arteries. And so the best universal solvent, as we would say, is water, but it cools the brain and the body.
I think that's a really good point that people can start implementing right away, is just reminding people to stay hydrated, drink your, you know, couple of quarts of water a day, and use that as one of the strategies to support the brain. I don't think people realize that relationship between water and a healthy, cooled brain. So that was that's a really important and very practical point.
Oh, critical, critical. I had a patient actually show me a company called Pelican Water that is very economical and teaches people how to put in their own water purifiers in their house.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about the relationship between obesity and the brain. What are some of the things that you are observing, or what's some of the research showing?
Well, clearly, just as we were saying, everything starts in the brain. We know that the hypothalamus and the pituitary direct every hormone system in our body. And our adrenals make cortisol when our blood sugar is low, but our adrenals, when we're stressed out, when we're in menopause or past menopause, our adrenals overwork. Our adrenals will make cortisol. The adrenals make sex hormones. If the ovaries and the testes aren't working well, the body will be on overload, and the body just can't make what it needs, so the cortisol is bumping up the blood sugar, and the adrenaline-like substances from the adrenals are bumping up the blood pressure, and the sugar's converting the body fats. The body fats are making estrone, which is not a healthy type of estrogen in the body. Mm-hmm. Leptin is something that will increase as a person continues to gain weight, and then they end up with something called leptin resistance. And so, funny thing, the brain pituitary makes something called insulin growth factor. Insulin growth factor is the form of growth hormone that's in the human body that helps regenerate brain cells. Well, guess what? If they had a tumor that made too much, it could cause high blood sugars. And so even the growth hormone that helps us grow brain cells is critical to a balance with leptin and with the adrenaline-like substances and cortisol and the hormones in our body. And we even know that women, higher estrogen levels, whether they're pregnant, can have a higher blood sugar level. Even we talk about pregnancy-induced diabetes. And so overall, we know estrogens and even estrogens in the male body can enhance the diabetogenic effect, and so pro-diabetes. So whether it's man or woman, the hypothalamus, pituitary control the adrenals, the testes, the ovaries, the thyroid, which are our systems that help us burn body fat, because body fat is something that clogs our arteries, affects the leptin level, and then people become insulin resistant. And so you start at the brain, look at the brain controls the body. And so overall, those blood sugars kill nerve cells. Alcohol is a sugar. Sugar, fructose from fruit, people come in on saying, I'm eating a high fruit diet. Well, fructose goes through our system and jumps some of the enzymes to be metabolized. It's too energetic.
Alcohol jumps all of them. And so white sugar is actually better than alcohol and fructose, but we would prefer to do higher glycemic substances that don't stress the brain, because that hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis and our whole hormone system is dependent upon feedback as far as blood sugar levels, leptin, insulin, and which will affect cholesterol levels and ultimate heart disease and diabetes.
And when someone is under stress producing high cortisol levels, you have a lot of cortisol running around your body. Now that is also killing brain cells, affecting our brain, isn't it?
Oh, of course. And its partner is the adrenaline system. And cortisol will basically, sugar makes nerve cells rot. And the adrenaline system constricts blood vessels. So number one, you've got lower levels of the things you need, and then you're so stressed out, the adrenaline is constricting blood vessels and decreasing blood flow. And so from sudden cardiac death to increased blood pressure, increased pulse, they're anxious, they're irritable, they're agitated, they can't sleep, the body is overclocked. And there's no mistake that serotonin increases when people eat a high carbohydrate meal. And so what happens is serotonin is a vasodilator. We know it through antidepressant treatments, but serotonin is made from the amino acid tryptophan and increases blood flow to every cell in the body. And so clearly the neurotransmitters in the brain, acetylcholine, GABA, serotonin, and dopamine, are critical in metabolism and cognitive performance.
Yeah, so they really are. And I have a question about that. Because they're made from, or certainly the amino acids are critical components and precursors to make the neurotransmitters, what do we need to know about our diet? And do you have any thoughts about people who are vegans and vegetarians and may not be getting adequate protein, which are the amino acids are made from proteins? Any thoughts on that?
Well, we know that there are 12 essential amino acids, and the vegetarians that know what they're doing, that understand it, know that they have to have, you know, phenylalanine, valine, tyrosine, threonine, isoleucine, methionine, histidine, alanine, leucine, and lysine, and they know how to mix corn and rice and beans to get those. But we see patients all the time come in, and they're actually malnourished. And they're having neurologic symptoms from decreased B12 because they don't eat any meat. And we see very strange things happening, even amino acid deficiencies, because we check the amino acid levels and even the fatty acid levels and vitamins in these people. And they say, well, you know, why are my feet tingling? We find the B12 is low. They're not getting it in the diet, which is, you know, some of the part and parcel, but critically, you know, we know that those amino acids like tryptophan converts to serotonin and melatonin. We know that tyrosine converts to thyroid hormone if you add iodine to it. It converts to all of the dopamine substances in the adrenals. And we know that phenylalanine converts to tyrosine, so you can make more of that. And so some of these amino acids have a little ring on them, and they're critical for brain function. And there's no mistake that the tyrosine amino acid is used to make thyroid hormones, which is our metabolic juice, but it's also used to make adrenaline substances in our adrenals, from, you know, dopamine, norepinephrine, adrenaline. And also there's a place in the brain, substantia nigra, meaning it's dark, it's black. It makes neuromelanin, which is made out of tyrosine, which is dopamine, which is what Parkinson's patients don't have enough of. So very critical, incredible question.
Yeah, so, you know, people listening who are vegans or vegetarians, something that you really need to pay attention to, make sure you're getting complete essential amino acids there, because long-term deficiency can really alter so many of these functions that you were just explaining.
Oh, sure. High-quality protein. It has all of those 12 essential amino acids.
Yeah. Do you recommend something like a good whey protein, a good plant-based protein powder?
Well, it depends on the person's personal preference, and it also depends on any allergies. And so, but if you look at the sports nutrition research, they will say that casein milk protein is superior.
But we know that a lot of the cows that give milk that was really supposed to go to baby cows, not human beings, have leukemia. And so, number one, is it organic? Number two, is it the casein protein from the organic cows, which we'd prefer? Is the whey protein for people who are dairy intolerant has been broken down by natural bacteria. And so whey protein is the second best, and which I prefer. And, you know, then we have soy protein, but then you have to be very careful because depending on the person, we don't want to give them those soy estrogens if they're already overloaded with body fat and estrone. There's, you know, the four estrogens are formonitin, daidzine, genistein, genistein that are in the soy.
Right.
And so, and then we won't even get into genetically modified and GMO.
Which we want to stay away from, and we don't want to get into it at all. So, well, you know, we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for sharing and pitch hitting for Dr. Braverman. You've done a great job, and it's been a pleasure talking with you. You've really helped us to understand how to have a younger brain and a sharper mind.
Very exciting. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, bye for now. And for everyone listening,
all right, bye-bye.
We have been exploring the book by Dr. Eric Braverman, Younger Brain, Sharper Mind. Good news is that we can rejuvenate and regenerate every part of our body, including our brain, if we are just willing to make lifestyle and dietary changes and get the good nutritional support and get educated so we can learn what we need to do. So I trust you will be following me as I change beginning of March over to Sundays at 4 p.m. And we'll still be here next week. Until then, I wish you all a fantastic week. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.